Welcome to Rage You Nerds. I am Mr. Kak, and I am joined, like I am on Fridays, with my brother Jared and our friend TJ. We are the nerds, and we're here to rage. Exactly. So how you boys doing? Everything going well?
It's another beautiful Friday night down here in Arkansas, and I'm excited about tonight's show.
TJ, how are you doing, buddy? Yeah.
TJ's like,
I'm all right. I'm tired. It's been a long week.
Yeah. It has been a week. It has been a week that is long or short or whatever, I guess, negative you want to throw in there. It's probably been that week. We apologize for your week. But, I mean, not really. I mean, I hope you're enjoying yourself now. And if not, gosh dang it, sit down, shut up, and enjoy whatever crap falls out of our mouths, because we have a lot of it. All right? This is, if nothing else, this is a verbal porta potty. There is just gonna be word poop coming everywhere, and it's all just gonna be hunkering down in here, getting hot and bothered.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
I do. Nah,
yeah. I'm definitely. Let's go I'm definitely bothered by that statement.
Good. All right. Perfect. Welcome, to Raging Nerds. WV Uncommon Place. Wow. WV Uncommon Place. Welcome back. We hope that you're enjoying yourself. Yeah, man, welcome to Rage You Nerds. Just three nerds about to have a chat about some stuff, and we're going to talk. So this week's opening intro, I made sure to make very specific to the movies we'll be talking about. So typically what we do is we will pick movies that we will then nerd out on. And our nerding out typically consists of our two nerds here, TJ and Jared, going through and actually digesting, dissecting, analyzing, and then discussing a movie from kind of a critical stance with some grading, with criteria that they set us up in advance, and then they go from there. We decided that during this month, we'll be covering things 90s related, and we couldn't sit back and justifiably grade something from the 90s. There are people that are much better upstanding critics out there that do it all the time. Well, we're not critics, we don't care, so we've decided that instead of grading these movies from our younger years, we're just going to marinate on them. We're going to bring up a movie, and we're just going to discuss whatever thoughts come to our head. It could be a long one, it could be a short one. Don't know, don't care, just going to enjoy the crap out of fond memories of a yesteryear, a yesterdecade, the 90s. And so with that, I would say, let's just, I know we typically don't have our format figured out right then and there, but I'd say let's finally getting to watch you all. Well, we're glad you're here, VW Uncommon Place. And VW Uncommon Place, if you are on Instagram, if you follow our Instagram, please make sure that you go out and find VW Uncommon Place. They do a great job of supporting fellow podcasters on Instagram, and now they've made it to our Twitch, so we really are appreciative of every time that they've mentioned us, myself as Mr. Kak with my other podcast. Anytime they've mentioned us, liked us, shared our stuff, we've tried to return the favor by being as supportive back to them as we possibly can. So we do really appreciate you being here, VW Uncommon Place.
All right, appreciate you, brah.
Let's see, boys.
Get right into it?
Yeah, let's. I say we start with what we left off from last week. Last week we did not get to cover Tommy Boy. I say let's go ahead and hit Tommy Boy.
All right,
and then we can just kind of feel it out from there.
Sounds good.
All right, so I've got a background for this. Just let me pull it up. I don't know how good it looks with everything, but you know, YOLO. You just kind of go with it sometimes.
That's cool. I like it.
And let me actually do this. And we're going to try something that Jared wanted me to try last time. So we're going to give that a shot. But first up on the... What the... But first up on the old docket
is... Well,
it's
a good sign.
Yeah. Sorry. It's the wall blends in with the image behind it now. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did half of my camera get cut off? No. That's just how it's hitting now. That's fine. Whatever. So any opening thoughts? Tommy Boy seemed like it had a stronger resonance with you two guys. I don't know if that's unfair of me to say, but while I love Chris Farley and I love Tommy Boy, and I would probably say Tommy Boy was higher up on my list of Chris Farley movies because I do think I like it more than Black Sheep, and I think those are like the two fighting for me. Beverly Hills Ninja, you're up there. I love you, but I think I like Tommy Boy the best. But you guys, anyone want to start specifically on Tommy Boy?
TJ, you want to give it a go, or you want me to go ahead and take the first couple pitches here? So, Tommy Boy for me was one of those. I remember watching. That's great, Cac. That's great. I love it. One of the first movies I remember not only watching as a young boy, but like that my other brother Jake and my cousin Nathan got to watch with me. And it, while it might not have been absolutely, it's one of the first comedies I remember watching with the family. You know, it's kind of everybody could have fun with it, and it was just overall good humor. David Spade and Chris Farley never disappointed in what they did. One of the things that sticks out about me is like the acting in it. Chris Farley's always going to be Chris Farley. He kind of has his thing. But what I really like about Tommy Boy is the star power that you brought in from everybody else, because, you know, so you have Rob Lowe, of course, you have Brian Dennehy. If you don't know who Brian Dennehy is, he played the bad guy on Rambo First Blood, which is a film way back in 1982, which we'll probably get to when we do the I Love the 80s thing. But, never a dull moment with this. And it still had good story too. You know, like it wasn't like a Van Wilder type movie where it's like, let's see how gross we can be. And this is before the comedy really started to slip. I don't think there are a whole lot of good comedy movies today that are just that good old fashioned dorky kind of comedy where you just, you know, you relate to the characters a little bit. It's like everybody who watched Tommy Boy kind of had a guy. It's like, I know a guy like that, you know, everybody. And then with David Spade too, they're like, I know a guy like that too. So for me, it was just overall entertainment. It's one of those movies that you watch so many times, but it never gets boring. It never gets dull. It's one of those that you very rarely, this is one of those ones that like TNT and TBS don't ever put on TV. You actually nowadays have to go seek it out. But it's one that, like, when we got into the 90s, we were going to go, you know, hey, we're going to do some 90s episodes and some 90s movies. My first two thoughts were Terminator 2 and Tommy Boy. Those were my first two. And then I was like, no, there's so much more. But that's how high Tommy Boy was for me as far as it's one of those movies that makes you feel good from start to finish. It has obviously Chris Farley and David Spade hilarity. They're traveling all around the Midwest, so they got funny accents if you're from the South. but it has feel good too. You know, his dad dies, and you get the part where his dad dies and he's kind of a screw up, but he wants to do this for his dad and for his town. And it's just the elements. It's such a good story. TJ, you were part of that when I said, you know, watch it with my family. You were part of that family. You were there with Jake, Nathan, me, Debbie, and Mom, where we watched Tommy. That's one of the first movies I can remember where, like, all of us sat down and we're like, ha, you know, we could all kind of laugh at it. It's like, it's not the one that we tried to sneak out of the video store that was rated R because there might be a naked lady in it, you know?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were about to keep talking or if that was like my sign to go. Because there was that kind of pause. I was like, is he going to say something next?
No, verbal cue, TJ. After I get at the end of my rant, I go, TJ, anything I say after TJ means whenever I stop talking, it's your turn to go, brother.
I mean, we've okay. only been doing this for a couple months now, boys. There's no way we know each other enough to.
We've only known each other for 20-some-odd years.
No, hang on, wait. No. So I will say this. If me and TJ were on stage right now and I hit just a certain drum lick, I wouldn't have to tell TJ, are you ready? He would go, that's my cue. So what I need to do is get a drum kit in here. TJ, you get a guitar. And when I do like that, but I think that means TJ go.
So, yeah, I mean, one of the things about this movie is, you know, not only is it funny and it is family friendly to a degree, there are some parts that are, you know, may not want your kids to watch, or unless you're going to have to explain, you know, what your favorite little rascal is. And then, but one of the things is, like, for me, this movie is just, you know, what's a sign of a good movie that's worth watching over and over again is how quotable is the movie. Like, you know, I make car parts for the American working man because that's what I am and that's what I care about, you know, just, and I butchered the quote, whatever. But, you know, it's just how quotable the movie is. You know, it's just throughout the movie. It literally is just everything that they do. You know, you can almost, if you've seen it enough times, you can act out this movie from start to finish. And I'm not going to say that we've done that, have we, Jared?
Not entirely like we did Robin Hood Men in Tights, but it can be done. And by the way, if you want us to see, if you want me and TJ to act out Tommy Boy,
you guys keep
like, comment, subscribe, smash that dingy. We will so do it for a bunch of money or for free. It doesn't matter. We'll do it. Like, comment, and subscribe. By the
way, they will do it for some form of money or the lack thereof.
Yes. Because we are nerd whores.
We just need you to pay attention and tell us. You know, it's honestly all we need. Just affirmations.
You know, so one thing I want to mention that I totally, TJ just, and I don't know why, but when I was mentioning the star power in this movie, I don't know how I left out Dan frickin' Aykroyd. I make car parts for the American working man because that's who I am and that's who I care about. The truth is, I'm a hell of a businessman, you know, and his crazy hair, Zelensky. Come on down to Zelensky, the auto parts king. Just to have him even as an afterthought in the movie, just kind of like it was the cherry on top because he doesn't really kind of come in. You see his commercials, but he doesn't really come in until the end of the movie. And just his last 5-10 minutes in the end of the movie, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, just kind of bright, especially if you're a fan of Dan Aykroyd like me and Mr. Kakar, of course, because we're Ghostbusters nerds. It was just, that was the cherry on top. So, Kak, I got to ask you, you know, me and TJ do have an affinity for this movie, but like, we're a little bit older than you. So how did you feel? What was your first reaction to Tommy? Did it hit you like it hit us? Is it one of those monumental things up there where like when somebody talks about the 90s or Chris Farley, you immediately go to Tommy Boy?
So I think when people talk to me or mention Chris Farley, I think where I typically go with this is Saturday Night Live. A lot of the clips, I don't even know if it's Saturday Night Live, honestly, where some of these clips come from. It's just a lot of his cameo, I think, is more of what I think about. I think about the bus driver. If you want my honest opinion, the bus driver from Billy Madison. That is where my mind goes, just because he's a treat because of his charisma based on his physical comedy acting, and because his routine is just so much spastic energy and physical flopping, I think. And it's not to be a negative towards Chris Farley's, you know, career, because he's amazing. But I feel like there are times where there's so much that gets blurred together between where, like, all these nuggets come from. But, like, his van down, like, live in a van down by the river, like that right there alone. I know that way more than I do quotes from Tommy Boy, Beverly Hills Ninja, and Black Sheep. And that, again, not anything. You know, I honestly remember a lot more of him in Coneheads than some of the other stuff, too.
Oh,
so
God.
It's just.
How do we miss Coneheads on this list?
I know. So just. It's just Wayne's one of those
things. Wayne's World was on the list. I don't know if it made it to like or what we might talk about. In fairness, the 90s list is like 384 movies that we had to narrow down to 15.
And even then, we were supposed to narrow it down to like 12, and I still just kept throwing things in there.
I read that list, and I was like, I don't know if we can do this. We can do this. We can do this.
Yeah. So,
but to your point, Kak, SNL, so that's one of my first impressions of Chris Farley. And Tommy Boy, you really can't talk Tommy Boy without going into a segue with Chris Farley, because Chris Farley is what made Tommy Boy happen. You could have put David Spade in there with anybody else, and it probably wouldn't have been the same movie. You could have put Chris Farley in there with anybody else, and it still would have worked. No offense, David Spade, if you're watching, love you. You're fantastic, too. We should have a David Spade night.
There's honestly a chance David Spade could be watching this. I don't know what he's got on his plate right now. He keeps showing up on true TV shows, so that can't be too much of a step ahead of us.
So we talked in the van down by the river on Saturday Night Live, but one of the first memories I have of Chris Farley before all of this, and I don't even know if this was in – I don't remember – it's on SNL, but I can't remember if we were early 90s or if this backed up into the 80s, but it's him and Patrick Swayze and their Chippendale dancers. And it is the funniest damn thing that I've ever seen in my life, because those of you who are old enough to remember who Patrick Swayze was, he was an actual Chippendale dancer at one time. A Chippendale dancer, for all you youngins, is a male stripper, basically. So if you know Patrick Swayze, Point Break, kind of chiseled. Rock hard abs, nice flowing blonde hair. And then there's Chris Farley, and they get up together and they do this routine. And it's just, oh my God, it is so funny.
So he was an actual Chippendale dancer before all that?
I believe so.
He had the body, so I'm not going to question that. So TJ, aside from any Thunder Down Under and any Chris Farley or Patrick Swayze stuff you'd like to throw out there.
Chris Farley, yeah, it's just like you were talking about with the cameos, you know, like Wayne's World 2 when he's the roadie, you know, getting hit with like tennis balls, like while he's trying to pick up a mic stand, you know, it's just that physical humor that he did. You know, he was a big guy. Like, if you even just, I mean, go on the YouTubes and watch some of his stuff from like early, like late night talk shows. Like, oh, Conan gosh, O'Brien. Man. Yeah. And just, I mean, you know, when he died, it was kind of like there were so many, you know, like he was at the top of his game. Like it would have been neat to see what he would have done, you know, after whatever that last movie where he was like the Lewis and Clark movie that he did.
I don't remember the name of it.
Almost Heroes. Is that what it's
Almost
called?
Almost Heroes. I think so.
Yeah. But other than that,
thanks to TJ for bringing it down a notch. God, we should have a Chris Farley appreciation night.
You can't talk about Chris Farley without talking about, you know, yeah, he did pass away, and that's why we don't have any new movies with him, you know, unfortunately.
When I was originally doing this, I almost thought, like, man, it's tough to do Tommy Boy and not just, like, make it all about Chris Farley as just, like, a person. But at the same time, we can still definitely do Chris Farley later. I feel like I'm going to keep bringing back this I Remember the 90s gimmick. I think this is going to be one that it's going to be like our
We found our stick. There's a whole
10 years to pick from in there. So
this is going to be our old school Raw. Every time we need the Remember the 90s, just like WWE, every time they need Bill Goldberg. It'll be
like
there.
Six times a year.
It'll be there. It'll be our Brock Lesnar to draw out in the summer months.
Content, baby. Like, comment, and subscribe. Smash the dingy.
All right, then. Let's do... Dun, dun.
Pause for Tums.
Let's do Jurassic Perk.
I had one of them knockoff barbecue sandwich things for dinner. Oh, God, it tear me up.
Tearing up my heart and soul. All right, so it's time to talk a little Jurassic Park. So, again, we're not trying to just go so crazy deep into grading Jurassic Park. This is just more of a fond memories of Jurassic Park. And I'll go ahead and kick it off right now. I'm not gonna go to my solo shot. I'm going to keep this open to you boys because I'd like to know your responses and kind of reactions. But while, admittedly... If you're younger and you go and watch the first Jurassic Park, not Jurassic World, you go watch the first Jurassic Park, you are going to sit there and think, those dinosaurs look very fake. Understand that our TVs did not have the precision definition that they do currently. And when I was a child, that was the most mind-blowing movie to see on any screen, but more so on a theater screen. It was like actual what I believe dinosaurs were had appeared before me, and it shook me. I was like, there's no way that's real. Like, that has to be real. That has to be a real dinosaur. And that now I'm older and have learned that dinosaurs were just birds.
Go ahead, TJ.
So it's a dinosaur that's been shitting on my truck.
Yes. Actually, there are some scientists that would argue yes. So
dang velociraptors and their flying poop. So one of the things I was going to say about this, and I've kind of been preparing for this too, is that as a young boy growing up, I can remember very vaguely. Well, I can remember them fully, not like that we did it. You know, I remember that we did it, but not so much all the details and whatnot. But there are only a handful of movies I remember that I actually went and watched in the theater. And I remember the first movie I ever watched in theaters was Ghostbusters 2 in 1989 when it first came out. I believe probably the second movie I ever watched in theaters was Jurassic Park in 1993 when it first came out. And I immediately wanted to run out to Walmart or... Well, at the time, Walmart was a thing. Actually, no. There was what was that in the mall? KB, was it KB Toys? It's the only place you could buy G.I. Joe action figures because they didn't have KB Toys.
Sorry, I had muted my mic. Whoa, KB Toys. Oh.
It's KB Toys, damn it. But I immediately wanted to run out to KB Toys and buy, Laura Dern's character, Sam Neill's character, and Mr. Muldoon, Robert Muldoon's character, who got killed by the raptor. I'm like you, Cac. When I first saw this on the big screen, I was like, I'm in, this is so amazing, you know, because at the time, special effects were in their, and this movie, special effects were kind of in their infancy, I can't say that word, they were very small, as far as CGI, but practical effects, and Steven Spielberg and people like that, still were very good at practical effects. They knew how to make a Jeep fall off a cliff and land in a tree, and they knew how to make a Jeep fall down a tree, and they knew how to build a 35-foot puppet that ate a man on a toilet. It was great, you know? I think that was a little CG, but anyways. But no, I was... TJ, where was the first time that you... did you see this in theaters, or was this like something you saw later on one of those VHS cassette tape things that you had to rewind?
Oh, wow. I don't remember if I saw this in theater, because it's been nearly 30 years.
That's a very honest and real response, TJ. I appreciate that.
I mean, I had it on VHS. I had it on DVD. I might have had it on Blu-ray at one point. I don't remember. But yeah, you know, I just don't remember. And I don't think I even got like that sense of awe like y'all had with the, you know, seeing the dinosaurs. I was just like, hey, cool. It's a dinosaur movie that doesn't suck.
TJ, don't, you can't tell me that the na 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 na, and then you see the big stupid dinosaur na 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 na.
Big stupid dinosaur. You should have more respect for a Brachiosaurus, sir.
And I mean, they're all birds. Apologize. They're all apologize. Birds. None of them look the way they look in that movie. Hey, that movie, you know, is actually wrong.
Under that big pile of shit that they were reaching their hands in, there was a car.
So funny thing,
it was TJ's. Dang it,
it was my truck.
That was my truck, you triceratops son of a...
okay, before you go on, Jared, I just want to ask this: who else remembers Samuel L. Jackson's part in this movie?
Oh, of course.
I remember that he never didn't have a cigarette in his mouth.
No, yeah, seen, you know, he's got a cigarette.
I know. I mean, just, you know, during this, I'm like, Samuel L. Jackson literally is in everything. Like, they've done skits on Family Guy where it's like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, he's in everything.
Was it the porn skit? Okay, yeah. Samuel.
I just, I like how they found a way to injure Jeff Goldblum just for the sole fact to have him laying seductively on a table with his shirt undone. So you could see the rippling manness that is Jeff Goldblum. Okay, and that's back when he was telling us that only 20% of people are on computers, and they're not computers, they're people.
So another funny thing about this, and I forgot the point I was about to make. I'm sure it'll come back to me because I talk.
You're like thinking of Goldblum shirtless. Just admit it to yourself.
Well, and I was, but one more thing about that too is like his character couldn't even get out of being so egotistical. And I've never noticed this before, but so like when Ellie and Muldoon go to find everybody that they can, they roll up, they see the hut's been destroyed, and she's like, I think I found Lawyer Guy. And he's like, I think I found him over here for him too. That was a terrible Australian, but anyways. But then they find Jeff Goldblum under a bunch of things, and he's like, fat lady hadn't sang yet, or whatever he said. And they pull back this sheet, and I watched this, by the way, I've seen it 100 times, but I watched it this week just as kind of a refresher, and I'm glad I did, because I noticed one thing that I've never, ever noticed before. So apparently Jeff Goldblum Dr. Malcolm had a big gash in his leg, and they pull back this leaf thing, and she goes, oh good, he's applied a tourniquet. And I've never noticed that before, and I was like, but at that moment I was like, that arrogant son of a that had to have been Jeff Goldblum's idea. Well, so I'm laying there for dead, right, and they find me, and they think I'm dead, and I like hot dogs, and but I'm bleeding out, or so if they don't get to me in time, maybe I should have applied a tourniquet, eh? Spielberg was like okay, all right, yeah.
Well, Spielberg was probably like, in about 20 years I'm gonna compromise all of my morals to have stuff inserted into my movies. Because I am a dirty, dirty whore. Listen, Jeff Goldblum is Jeff Goldblum. We just have to accept that for fact. I forget his name. I just know him as Newman. Newman. But he was hilarious in this too. He made such a good bad guy for an actual, like, the dinosaurs aren't the true monsters, except they are in this film. People are the true dinosaurs or monsters or whatever the moral was supposed to be. But his little you didn't say the magic word. There are so many people I've told that to in my life, and they still don't, I guess, tell me the magic word. And it's not please, motherfucker. It's I will say this also. I don't know if you guys feel the same, because your toys might have went a different route because you're a little bit older than me. But for me, Jurassic Park was like the first franchise, and just from like one movie alone, that like the toys immediately became the most plentiful thing. And it was just like, all of these toys are great. Almost 60% of the toys on this line were not in any of the films, but just all of the stuff they could think of, like, what if this dinosaur was this dinosaur? It's like, that's amazing. I want to have it. Its mouth opens up. I had so many dinosaurs that just had battle damage. Like a T-Rex, that a chunk, you could just rip a chunk of meat out of it and you could see an exposed rib cage. I was like, I must have this. Like, I must have all the T-Rex stuff.
Two points real quick. TJ, first point, you'll agree with me on this. It was definitely not Jurassic Park, because Aliens did the same thing. But
okay, yes, Aliens and Predators was also another big thing in there.
Well, no, Predator didn't get any cred until like Alien versus Predator. Like, I don't remember any Predator toys until like the early 2000s. But like after Aliens in 86, nothing happened. But then somehow in Aliens, the one with Sigourney Bald. After that one, they were like, hey, we make a video game for, it wasn't Sega, what was the one before that? I don't remember.
Sega.
You remember the Aliens game, TJ?
No.
Okay, well, anyways, they made a video game.
I kind of remember. I don't think I played it, and I think it was for Sega, because Sega was just like Super Nintendo.
Okay, it was, because I remember when I played this game, it was at a babysitter's house. That's how old I was at the time. But it was, those are the two games that we played, was Aliens and Sonic. So it was Sega.
Oh,
anyways,
Sonic, so good.
The point, it wasn't after until Alien 3 and then the subsequent video game that kids that were a little older started looking back and seeing the first two movies. And then they were like, we got to make all these toys. So, you know, 10 years... maybe not 10 years, 8 years after Aliens in 86, you got all these toys. You got Hicks, Apone, Ripley. And I remember thinking, these people don't look anything like in the movie. And it's like, they just started to make up aliens. They're like, well, here's an alien. Here's the queen. Okay, that's cool. Well, here's a scorpion alien. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they found like things like, what if an alien face hugged a rhinoceros? Like, where'd they find the rhinoceros?
Well, here's my favorite. It was the praying mantis alien.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's a face hugger that is literally the size of a human head, somehow implanting a praying mantis with an alien egg. It did not make any sense.
Oh. Damn it, TJ, it's 2021. You let love shine through, you son of a bitch.
That's how somehow we went from Jurassic Park to Alien.
Hold on, did Samuel L. Jackson survive in Jurassic Park?
No,
I can't remember.
No,
you see his arm, I think, at some point.
Okay.
We don't know that he was killed. All we know is that his arm was bitten off and landed on her shoulder when she was trying to turn the power back on. He could be very... No, he would have bled out. He's dead. Yeah. He's dead.
He's fighting snakes on planes, man.
Damn velociraptors on this damn plane. I know it didn't say damn, but I'm trying to make it a kidly friendly show.
So what he says on TBS or TNT is, I'm tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. So if you want to keep it clean, that's the route you go.
Hold on. Monkey fighting snakes on a Monday to Friday plane?
These monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Wow. Okay. That's better than Point Break when Keanu.
We don't fly on Saturdays, Sundays. We're only Monday, Fridays, and our monkeys only fight snakes.
That's yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Or Point Break, when he jumps out of the plane at the end, instead of saying Evan, he goes, do it, man. And I don't know why they chose that for the edit, but they did. Anyways, that's been Jurassic Park. If you disagree with us, you're an idiot. If you don't, well, I'm just kidding. Like, comment,
subscribe. No, you're an idiot.
Smash the dinghy.
And don't be an idiot.
Smash the dinghy. That turned out well.
Okay. Nah, nah, nah. I love that. I love that part.
I didn't get this in because we were having too much fun, but one thing I really did like about Jurassic Park is, like, you have Dr. Grant at the beginning of the movie. He's like, I hate kids. Kids suck. Bah! And at the end of the movie, he's kind of like, I'm kind of like a grandfather to these children. They're hugging me on the helicopter. Don't touch them.
Nah, 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 nah.
Great soundtrack.
Let's never talk about any of the other ones, really. Let's never talk about any of the rest of them.
I mean, you got this one, and then you got the first one with Chris Pratt, and I don't care about the rest.
Yeah, I like the first one with Chris Pratt. Do I like the second one with Chris Pratt? I didn't mind it. It was interesting, right? It opened up an interesting concept that I think they're going to explore actually in this third one. But we're also getting Jeff. 20% of people are on the internet. And they're not computer people.
How awesome could that be? Jeff Goldblum and Chris Pratt. Come on. This could be an almost a weird Independence Day thing. I mean, come on.
We can only
Let's just have Jeff Goldblum in everything.
He's the new
Samuel L. Jackson.
He's the new Samuel L. Jackson. Change your apartment. Change the world.